good to see each of you here this morning. Still a little dreary out there today, but I think it's a lot better than it was yesterday. A little rough day yesterday, but like Pastor was saying in Sunday school, we don't know why the Lord changed things and had us come here instead of the park, but we know that all of that is in His hands. And we had a good time, those of us who were here yesterday, and I think some of us are dragging a bit from all the exertion from yesterday, but it was a good day. We had a good time. Let's take our hymn books, please, and turn to song number two. Song number two, Come Thou Almighty King. Let's stand, please, as we sing, if you're able to. Song number two. Given their lives in service of our country and paid the price so that we could have the freedom that we still have today. It's eroding, and our nation has turned its back on you. But help us not to do so, but to stand in the gap and be counted.
Amen.
And may we, until you take us home, do your work in spite of the obstacles that we may face, knowing that your grace is always sufficient for us in our moment of weakness. Pray that you would guide and direct in the services today, that you would receive the honor and glory. We pray for our pastor that you would give him the words to say, strengthen him, encourage him, help him as he does the work that you've called him to do, and help us to be good followers of him as he follows you. Thank you for our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let's turn now to song number 10. Song number 10, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Master.
good song. Notice who wrote it? Charles Wesley. We've been commenting about him before, and his brother John, of course, as well. All right, a couple of announcements here this morning. First, Pastor was mentioning in Sunday school that he made a couple copies of the Constitution. They are there in the back on the table there by the sound booth. Please look at those. We're going to do everything we can to get you more copies, but we have the two for right now. So please take a look at those and look at them carefully. If you have questions, please let Pastor know, and he'll be glad to answer your questions. We have a preliminary copy of the new church address list. It's up here on the organ. There is a sheet with it. Please look at the copy, and if you see something that needs to be added or there's a mistake made when it comes to your information there, please write that information on the attached sheet so that we can get that corrected, and hopefully before long we will have that new church address list available for everyone. I think that's all I can think of, Pastor, except for we missed this in Sunday school. Bert's birthday is this week, so we want to sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. All right. Before I forget, too, next Sunday we will be starting that new study from the Little Red Booklets. If you did not receive one, please let either Brother Jim Bush or Pastor know, and we will get more. But hopefully that study will be a blessing to you. That will be starting this week will be the last in our study of the book of Titus, chapter 2. So hope you will have that if you don't have it already. All right, let's turn now to the very next song, song number 11, O Worship the King. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. If you're able to stand, we'll sing this one as well. Song number 32.
I sing the mighty
be seated.
See you. that's the thing that counts to
question of the song there, how is your heart today? Is it right with God? I was sitting there thinking when he was playing and singing that song, if I was to hand out a piece of paper to you and put some lines on it and number it 1 through 10, what would be the number one thing that you put emphasis on in your life? And then number 2, number 3, number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. What would be number one? I don't want to know. I don't need to know the answer. That's not none of my business. What would you list number one in your life that you put the most desire and emphasis on this morning? What is number one? Is it a job? I bet you if I went around as a pastor, everybody would say Jesus. But is that evident in your life? You see, we can say Jesus is number one all day long, but in reality, like Jason just sung there, God knows the heart and what we truly do put as number one. Take your Bible and please stand if you would this morning. We're going to continue on looking this morning. What I believe the Lord's laid on my heart about why has the church lost its power in these last days that we're living in. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Familiar portion of scripture here. Romans chapter 12, verses number 1 and 2, with keeping that list in your mind, what is number 1 in your life? Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writing to the church there at Rome, and look what he says here at the latter part of his letter. He says, I beseech you, therefore, and we're not going to look at what the therefore is there for. There's a previous chapters here in Romans, but he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this building to meet in. I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I pray now that you would just bless this next service, dear God. I pray, Lord, that I would move out of the way. Lord, that you would have me to say exactly what you'd have me say, no more or no less. Father, I pray, Lord God, if there's someone here this morning that's lost, dear God, that they would see clearly, Lord, that they would see clearly where they stand with you, Father. I pray you just make it evident to them, dear God, and Lord, just bring conviction. And God, that they would turn to your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and find forgiveness through the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Now help us now as we go forward. Lord, in everything that's said and done, may you receive the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. What Paul is telling them there is, are you willing to get on the altar and present your body, your whole body, your whole soul, everything you have as a living sacrifice unto God? He says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul's making a statement here saying that, listen, this is nothing, something great God is asking you to do. It's your reasonable service. And then he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. What does it mean to not be conformed to this world? I don't want to know the answer to it. I want you to ask your own self that question. What does Paul mean when he states there in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world? What does that mean? What does it mean to not be conformed? Because he goes on to say, but be ye transformed. How are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God for your life? You see, as you leave out these doors this morning, if God allows us to do so here in a little bit, when we walk out these doors and if God so allows us to start this week, there is a perfect will of God for you this week. God, if you're saved, God has His will for you this week, that exactly what He would want you to do. And we find as we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus Christ came to fulfill His Father's will. That was first and foremost, that He did what the Father wanted Him to do, no more or no less, but to do exactly what His Father had called Him and asked Him to do. And the same is for us. God says here through Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He says, don't be conformed to this world, but transform your mind, renew your mind. Why? That you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does God put the emphasis on? And what God puts the emphasis on, I want to put the emphasis on. So why has the church lost its power today? Because we've failed to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy, it talks about, and we've looked at it before, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, not being entangled with the affairs of this life. We see the same kind of thought process here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we're not to be conformed to this world. Why? Because this world will divert you from what the will of God is in your life. If you spend more time with what the world's telling you to do and how the world is acting. Why have we lost power? Last week I looked at, because we've dropped the sword of the Lord, or sword of the word of God, and we haven't put on the armor. Another reason we've lost power today is because we failed to preach what matters. We've failed to preach what matters. What does preach mean? When we say the word preach, what is the definition of the word to preach? It basically means to proclaim, to preach Christ or Christ crucified, to announce Christ as the only Savior. When you preach, you're to preach Christ crucified and Him the only Savior, and His atonement as the only ground of acceptance with God, to proclaim Jesus Christ. Number one, I'm afraid that we failed to preach to the poor and every creature. Look over at Mark chapter 16, verse number 15. I believe the church in some aspects, now again, I'm referring to the church as a whole. I'm not referring to Ray Street Baptist Church. The church in some instances has become more humanitarian than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of churches today that are more worried about feeding the poor and clothing the poor and doing good works as far as physically rather than trying to put forth the things that are needed spiritually. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Mark 16 and verse number 15. Jesus, before He's caught back up into heaven, He says here, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world, and what? And preach what? The gospel to every creature. Jesus didn't say, when He's getting ready to be taken back up into heaven, to ascend back up into heaven, He didn't go say and preach whatever is the new thing that needs to be preached about physically that's occurring in our government. Jesus said to His disciples, He says, go ye into all the world, and what are you to preach? What are you to proclaim? The gospel to every creature. Take your Bible, look over at Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 22. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 22. We're to preach to the poor and every creature. Look at Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 22. Luke chapter 7, verse 22, the Bible says, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see and the lame walk, the leper are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Look what He says, to the poor the gospel is preached. To the poor, the gospel is preached. What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we're also to preach repentance and remission of sins. I'm sorry. Take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 5. I went ahead of myself. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 40. There's a reason why I'm looking at these scriptures this morning, because this is the job of the church. This is the job of the brethren, not to be a social activist, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our job as a Christian. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40 through 42. Acts chapter 5, verse number 40 through verse 42. Acts chapter 5, 40 through 42. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see the emphasis I want to put on this morning of the job of the church, the job of the church is to preach Christ, the cross, and his resurrection from the dead. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 say this: And they spake unto the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. And look what it says: And preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. In Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, there in the middle it says, And they preached through Jesus the resurrection of Jesus, or the resurrection, Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. What did they put the emphasis on? They put the emphasis on preaching Jesus and his resurrection. Acts chapter 8. We're not going to read it, but if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, the latter part of verse number 5 gives the emphasis of what they put the emphasis on. Look what it says there, Acts chapter 8, verse 5. It says, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and what did he do? Preached Christ unto them. Now, I said last week that some of these things that I would bring up would be kind of ad nauseum, keep them repeating something. But I said last week that I believe the church has lost some of its powers because the church is and the brethren are putting more emphasis on things that don't matter. And what does matter is kind of just being put off the side as something that really doesn't matter. What we ought to be preaching and putting forth is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The preaching of remission of sins and forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 16, look at verse number 36. Preaching the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 36. Acts 13 and verse number 36. Actually, look at just verse 38 for the sake of time this morning. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, who, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. They're saying you ought to preach. Preach what? Preach unto you the forgiveness of sins. By who? Jesus Christ. And by all that believe him are justified from all things which the law of Moses couldn't justify you. Preach the forgiveness of sins. Preach the gospel of peace. Romans 10, 8 through 17. I'm not going to go there. It talks about preaching the gospel of peace. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. We're to preach Christ and not ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Why have we lost the power today? Because I think in some instances we're preaching ourselves and not Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 5. The Bible says this: For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He says in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ or Jesus Christ. Don't preach yourself. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Be careful not to get caught up on something that doesn't really matter when it comes to eternity. What really brethren, this morning, what really matters when it comes to eternity? When it comes to eternity, at some point, we're going to cross over, like I said last week, into eternity. What matters? Paul says, for we preach not ourselves. But what do we preach? We preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know what happens when you preach Christ Jesus? You're preaching light. Because look what he says in verse 6. Well, look at verse 3 real quick. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So Paul's telling the church there, he's saying, listen, if our gospel, if our proclamation of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ be hid, who's it hid to? It is hid to them that are lost. In whom what? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When you preach and you proclaim anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's doing no good to open the blind eyes of them that are lost. Now, this morning, and we're not there yet. I want you to bear with me this morning. And I wrestled with this thing for a number of months now. Brethren, there's all kinds of opinions on all kinds of different things. But God didn't call me to this church to preach opinions of what I think something should be or shouldn't be. God's called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in this book right here. That's what he's called me to preach. Right? He's called me to preach the word of God. The death, burial, and resurrection, I'm to put the emphasis on because it is the power of God unto salvation. For the foolishness of what? Singing songs? No. The foolishness of preaching. You know what will bring deliverance to someone's soul? The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe our song service ought to bring us into the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But singing some song, unless it's doctrine or scripture, won't completely deal with you like the gospel, like the word of God will deal with you. Paul said, preach the word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Preach the gospel. Now this morning, I know I might say something that somebody's going to disagree with, because you got a different opinion on it, and that is just fine. But we're going to try to look at some things this morning as what does the Bible say how we ought to carry ourselves and what we're to put the emphasis on. When I sit down with someone and they're putting the emphasis on, as a Christian individual, if I sit down with someone and they're putting the emphasis on something that is not necessarily scripture, but just the cause that they're behind, and that's their complete motive in life, there's a problem with that, because it's not Bible. Now, I'm trying not to go ad nauseum on you, but I cut it down big time. If you got a Strong's Concordance at home, if you don't have one, get one. If you want one, ask me and I'll get you one. But in Strong's Concordance, you can look up every word in the Bible and how many times it's found in the Bible, and it'll show you exactly where it is found in the Bible. Get you a Strong's Concordance or get you a computer program or something and look up how many times the word preach is found in the New Testament. And then what you are to preach. And tell me in there if it's not something that we're supposed... I'll get there in a second. The Bible says here that we're to preach not ourselves, but what are we to preach? Christ Jesus the Lord. He brings deliverance. He brings help. Not anything else in this world will give you deliverance outside of Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on Calvary. You want deliverance today? You want help today? You want your mind cleared? You want your conscience cleared? You want to have a purpose for your life? It's found in Jesus Christ. If you're going to look for it any other place, you're going to end up empty. You got problems in your marriage, you got problems with your kids, you got problems with your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your aunt, your uncle, your grandmother, your co-worker, your boss, your government. You can find help and the answers in the Word of God. But when you try to find the answers and the help anywhere else, it's only going to provide you, it may provide you a temporary relief, but at some point it's going to let you down and still you're going to be empty. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ can bring deliverance. Jesus Christ can open the eyes of the blind that are spiritually blind. Verse number 6 in 2 Corinthians 4 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God." In who? In the face of Jesus Christ. Preach Christ Jesus. Preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8. Look what else we ought to preach. We ought to preach the unsearchable riches of our blessed and glorious Savior. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3 and look at verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8. Look what Paul tells the church there at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given me." Why, Paul? "That I should preach among the Gentiles." What are you going to preach, Paul? "The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church," what? "The manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit," where? "In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Brethren, there's a lot in there in that chapter. A lot of victory in that chapter. A lot of victory for many Christians who are depressed, who are suffering from anxiety. Look what Paul tells them in verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." Why? "That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." We're missing the true power of God today because we've been diverted. We're preaching everything but the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, which brings true deliverance, true happiness, true strength, true deliverance from what we may face in this life. But we're looking to everything else to try to help us find that. Any other book but that book. I said this last week, I got a lot of books in my house and I love to read. But the further thing this thing goes on and the things that I see taking place in our society and just things going all around us, it's more and more like the Lord saying, no, you need to spend more time in there. No, come on, spend more time in here. No, come on, spend more time in here. Brother, you know what part of, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. You know what part of the problem is with just staying home and just listening to a sermon online? And one of the reasons why I struggled sometimes with putting our services online is because you can pick and choose what you want to listen to. Amen. 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 Well, I won't come to church because, you know, sometimes I don't agree with what the preacher preaches. And you know, I don't get what I need to get from church. Well, you're a fool because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the church is a pillar and ground of truth. Well, I can just make it with one Sunday morning service and I'll be good for the rest of the week. You know something different than I know. And I'm not saying just because I'm the pastor and I want you in church. Do I want you to church? Yeah. But every time the doors were open in my church down there in South Carolina, I tried to be there. Unless I was sick. Or unless I had to work. I tried to be in church. Look, I've been a member of a church longer than I've ever been a pastor of a church. This is all new to me. But one thing I do know is we need to be in church. You want strength? Look, now I understand there's circumstances to where there might be medical issues, you might have trouble seeing. I'm talking about if you can be, yet you choose not to be, you need to be in church. So don't come up and say, oh, preacher, no, if you can be. You know what I'm talking about this morning if you're playing games with God because you're putting the emphasis on something else rather than God. If you can be in church, you ought to try to be in church, not because Pastor Chris is saying it, because the Bible says it. Do you think, look, if all of a sudden Jesus showed up now from the rest of the time we're here and you knew Jesus was going to be here every service, would you be coming? I guarantee you would be, or maybe you wouldn't. Think about that for a second. If Jesus Christ was here on Wednesday night, would you be here with him? Or if all of a sudden we decide to have another service on Thursday night, well, that's just way too much preaching now. You put way too much on there. Well, what if Jesus was here? Brethren, I'm not saying these things to make anybody feel sad or mad or what do we put the emphasis on? Time's getting short. Time is getting short. Time is getting real short. And Paul says, I believe it's in the book of Corinthians, or it might have been Philippians, where he says he desires that there may be fruit that it abound to your account. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Paul desired for the brethren he preached to, the brethren he gave the word of God to, he desired that they would have fruit that it would abound to their account before God someday. Look, you know what? I don't want anybody in this church that's a member of this church. My desire as your pastor is I don't want you to have to stand before Jesus Christ someday at the judgment seat of Christ and have wood, hay, and stubble. Brethren, that's Bible. Look, you do realize if you're saved today, at some point you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what you've done in this life, from the point you were saved up to the point you go home, you're laying up some type of treasure there in heaven. And the Bible says it could be wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. And what you put the emphasis on is what you're laying up there in heaven if you're saved this morning. And you know, it's a fearful thing to me to think that someday I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of my Savior. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going home to heaven someday. But there's a little bit of fear in the back of Chris Welton here to know I'm going to have to give an account of what I've done since I've been saved and what I put the emphasis on. And now that I'm a pastor, it scares me even more. We're talking about, look, I don't think anybody in here this morning is an atheist. We're talking about the Creator. We're talking about, listen, we're talking about God. We're talking about God the Father being willing and sending his only Son Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, God became man, and God let man, his very creation, spit in his face, mock him, beat him, smite him, make fun of him, wag their heads at him, mock him, and he did it for us so that we might have a way into eternal life through the blood that he shed on that cross. The Bible says that God shed his own blood. God shed his blood for you and for me. And the reason I'm so emphatic on this is because maybe I get it through my thick skull because I'm so stubborn that God help me. I'm not even talking to you right now. God help me to put the emphasis on what the emphasis needs to be put on. The devil is a master at diverting us from what God wants us to have. You see, the Pentecostals and charismatic movement, God, they're just off a little bit on what God wants you to have. You see, they think God wants you to have it here and now. No, no. God wants you to have it over there. Not here and now. Now's the time to sacrifice. Now's the time to put yourself on that altar. Now's the time to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now's the time not to be conformed to this world. Why, preacher? Because Jesus Christ wants you to lay up treasures in heaven. And you know why my main desire is to have treasures in heaven? To give it back to him because he's worthy of it. I don't want to get home to heaven someday and have a little piece of paper. Here, Lord, this was my life. This is what I'm going to give to you because you know how hard that would be? When you got to hold what you put the emphasis on and say, well, Lord, this is where it was at. You want to talk about being embarrassed? You want to talk about wanting to run and hide under a rock? If you get home someday to heaven and you realize the only one that truly loved you with everything that he had for you and wanted nothing but the best for you, and all you got is a little bit of wood, hay, and stubble to give back to him. If that don't make you want to crawl under a pew, I don't know what will. The seriousness of Jesus Christ. The seriousness of God manifested in the flesh. What do we put the emphasis on? Paul says to that church there in Ephesus, he says, What does Paul in the book of Ephesians want you to comprehend? That Christ may dwell in verse 17, that verse 16, that he would grant you. Who? Jesus Christ. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might. By what? By what? How are you strengthened with might? By his spirit in the inner man. You say, preacher, I ain't got no strength this morning. Preacher, I ain't got no strength. I feel like I can't go on. Well, are you being strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man? You can't live off of just five verses read in the morning and going on through the rest of the week off those five verses that you read. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? What are we grounded in? In love. Whose love? Jesus Christ. Do you realize the love that God has to you this morning? And the love that he showed, the love that he put forth for you this morning through his son, Jesus Christ? And I'm just going to walk over that love like it's just any other love I might have had? Think about this morning if you've had a child. Think of this morning if you've had a child and a situation arose and someone needed help, and you were saying that, listen, I'll give my son or my daughter to take your place that you might be able to be set free. Let's just use the example that someone's facing the death sentence. And you're a preacher of a man or a woman, and you're going to a jail, in a county jail or to a prison, and you go to death row, and you're sitting there talking with this individual, and they're getting ready to face the death penalty, and you say, you know what, I'm going to talk to the judge for you. And me and my son here, we're going to go talk to the judge for you, and my son is willing to take your place for you, but I got to clear it through the judge first. And you go to the judge, and the judge says, listen, somebody's got to die for that sin he committed. That murder he committed, somebody's got to pay the price, because that's the consequence for the murder that he committed. And the preacher says, well, judge, my son here, he's saved also. And he says, he's willing to take the place of that man there that's getting ready to go to the electric chair or whatever. My son said he'll take his place, that he can go free. And the judge says, as long as somebody takes his place, somebody's got to die for that murder that was committed. And I give my son, and my son says, I'll willingly go there, and I'll take his place, and he can go free. So my son dies in his place, that man goes free, and as he's walking out the prison, he spits in my face. What would your reaction be? But how many today walk past their Bible, walk past church, walk past prayer, walk past the things that matter according to the Word of God, and they say, thanks, but no thanks, God. I got this. It's the same as if you walking by spitting that preacher's face that just gave his son to die for your son so he could be free from death penalty. These matters are serious before God this morning, brethren. We're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about what God did for the planet, and how he suffered and he bled and died, that we would have access to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you know the joy and peace and happiness and comfort that is available to you if you just put yourself on that altar? If you just put yourself on that altar, like Isaac was willing to go, as far as we can tell in the scriptures, Isaac didn't fight with Abraham. Isaac laid himself down willingly on that altar. Are you willing this morning to lay yourself all out on the altar for Jesus Christ? Because if you're willing to get on that altar, I believe you'll begin to understand the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, look at chapter 3, verse 20. I'm almost done. Look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able, look what it says here, glory to God, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? To the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You want victory this morning? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? Through Christ Jesus. You want victory this morning in the things that you're struggling with, the things that are going on in your mind, that are going in your heart, that are going on in your life. You want that victory? It's found in Jesus Christ, who will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or even think. Jesus Christ is for you this morning. He wants you to have victory through him this morning, but it takes you taking up your cross and getting on that altar. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice don't come back. When a sacrifice is offered, it's done. There's no more turning around. You get put on that altar as a sacrifice for God. It's not me no more. It's what God wants through me. We preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. we run into trouble when we put the emphasis on ourselves and what we think and what we want and how we think it should be done, rather than what does God say? What does God put the emphasis on? What does God want done? We've lost the power because we've lost the cross. We've lost the power because we've lost the cross, not only in the preaching of it, but in ourselves as well, taking up our cross and losing our life in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you're willing to lose your life, you'll find it. But if you want to keep your life, you're not going to find the life that's in Jesus Christ. Last thing as we pray here, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So we're to preach Christ Jesus, we're to preach his death, burial, resurrection, we're to preach the remission of sins and forgiveness of sins through the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. We're to preach Christ and not ourselves. We're to preach the gospel of peace, preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, and preach the word. I'm going to close with Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. What do you put the emphasis on this morning? And is it causing you to lose power? Is it causing you to lose power this morning? Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which we preach to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. What's been made manifest to the saints? Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's this mystery? What is the riches of the glory of this mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look what he says. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which work in me mightily. Paul, what do you preach? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're saved this morning, Christ dwells within you. God, the creator of all of everything, God, Christ Jesus, dwells within you. May our lives exhibit that. May our lives exhibit that. I've said this before. How do the Jews deal with and look at the temple? The Jewish people revere the temple. Revere the temple. Look at the emphasis. Take your some time this week, if or in a little while, at some point, and look at how they dealt with the temple in the Old Testament. Why was the temple in the Old Testament so serious, or even the tabernacle? Because that's where God met with them. In the Holy of Holies, that's where the atonement was made once a year for the sins of the people. You couldn't just walk up in the Holy of Holies. You couldn't even walk into the courtyard if you were a Gentile. You couldn't get nowhere close if you were a Gentile. And even if you were a Jew, you had to be part of the Levitical priesthood before you couldn't do anything unless you were a Levite. So look at the reverence and respect and honor and the way they carried and handled the tabernacle and the temple where God dwelt for some time in the Holy of Holies. He met with them, but now that's in you. That's serious. You are now the temple of God. You're now the temple of God. Christ dwells within you. Where's your desire this morning? If you've kind of drifted away from Jesus Christ, if you've kind of drifted away from church, if you've kind of drifted away from the things that matter, ask God, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to stir your heart, to stir your mind, to stir your soul, to get back to where you might have been one time. Back to what really matters. When it's all said and done, is anything else going to matter other than what we did for Jesus Christ? No, it's not going to matter one bit. It's not going to matter the house we lived in. Miss Florence and Miss Margot in a nursing home right now. I guarantee you some people, as they get ready to pass on from this life to the next, it doesn't matter who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago. When somebody's getting ready to pass from this life to the next and they know it, all of a sudden it starts to hit home on what really does matter. May we get a hold of that before that time. Let's get a hold of it today. Not when we're on our deathbed getting ready to cross over to the other side, because then it's too late. Right now, everybody in this room can move, can walk, can see, can hear. Some better than others, but you can still do it. Use it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Preach Jesus to this lost world. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, dear God, Lord, that Lord, for the scripture there in Colossians, the great mystery that Christ now dwells within us. What glory to know that God now dwells within us. Lord, help us to live our lives that will be pleasing in your sight, dear God. Lord, help us to purge away any sins which doth so easily beset us. Lord, help us lay them aside. Dear God, help us to know the unsearchable riches that you have for us through your precious Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to at the church to lay up gold, silver, and precious stone, Lord, that we wouldn't have regret at the day of the judgment seat of Christ. And Lord, I pray again, if someone doesn't know what I'm talking about this morning, Lord, it just doesn't make sense to them. They've never been born again. They've never been converted. Lord, they've never been truly saved through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help them to see this morning where they truly stand spiritually. If the Holy Spirit, Lord, if is dealing with anybody this morning, Lord, I pray you wouldn't leave them alone. God, but I pray they'd see victory through Jesus and through the blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary. All they got to do, Lord, all they got to do is just cry out for deliverance. All they got to do, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All they got to do is cry out. God, I pray you'd help them. Lord, I pray you'd help them. God, if there's bitterness in here this morning, Lord, I pray, God, you'd help. Lord, if there's any strife in our heart this morning, Lord, God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, if there's anything in here this morning that will cause division in this church, Lord, in this body, this local body, Lord, I pray you'd help them. God, help us, dear Lord, as a church, dear God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, with our attitudes, dear God. Help us, dear God, I pray. Oh, God, help us. Lord, help us, dear God, that someday we don't get home and we realize, oh, what fools we were. God, help us to realize these things today, dear God, while we still got time left. God, help us not to squander it away. Lord, I pray you'd help me with it. God, help this church, Lord. Help us to love you. Lord, those that are struggling this morning, dear God, they got things heavy on their heart. They got things heavy on their mind. Lord, I pray, dear God, I pray, Lord, that you meet them where they're at. Lord, that you would give them the strength and the confidence they need, Lord, to make the decisions that they might have to make. Lord, help Ray Street Baptist Church. Dear God, help us. Help me, Lord, to love you more, Lord, to draw near to you. Lord, that we can someday, Lord, we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving the brethren here. Lord, thank you for willing to be able to die on that cross for our sins. Lord, help us not to neglect it, dear God. Help us not take it for granted. Lord, help us to love one another as you love us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, can we play it? Is your all on the altar? Brother Ralph, where is that? Where is that in the songbook? Will you all please stand? Let's thank page number 476. Page number 476. If you can stand, if you're able to. Page number 476. If God's dealing with you anything this morning, if the Holy Spirit is impressing anything on your heart this morning, you need to come up front. Don't be worried about what others may think of you. Come forward and do business with God if God's dealing with you this morning. We're going to try to sing page 476 here as you're all on the altar.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather together as a body of believers. And if we all leave here today and reevaluate what we put an emphasis on. And if it's not you, help us through your Holy Spirit to give us the ability to reorganize what we place the emphasis on, draw us closer to you, and may we, every thought and action that we do will be motivated by your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Love you, brother. You all dismissed. We'll see you tonight.